Today we continue
our study of the Gospel of Matthew, recognizing that the study of Matthew or any of the four Gospels is actually a study of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And since we are studying the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would like to call to your attention that Bible scholars, for the sake of convenience, have divided the life of the Lord Jesus Christ into three divisions based upon the areas of the land where he carried on his ministry. Now, this does no violence to the Word of God, but it is helpful to those sincere students of the Word who want to place things exactly where they belong. So, I would like to suggest that today we're going to look at the beginning of one of these periods of ministry. The ministries of Christ are divided into the Galilean ministry, the Judean ministry, and the Berean ministry. Sometimes you will find reference to the latter Judean ministry and the latter Berean ministry because he spent short times in both places before the extended periods of the ministry begin. But those geographical locations pretty well designate the ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ carried on while he was on the earth. Now, of course, those names at the moment may not mean a great deal to you, Galilee, Judea, and Berea, but they will become more familiar to you as we go along, and as we begin the study of each ministry, we will pinpoint that particular location for you. You might even like to have a map, or look at a map, which is in the back of most Bibles, and understand exactly where these locations are in the so-called Holy Land. In this lesson, we begin a study of what is referred to as the Galilean ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. We call that to your attention because of what we read in verse 12, which is the key verse of this beginning discussion. Notice Matthew chapter 4, then, verse 12. When Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. Now, we're going to stop our reading right there for the moment. Verse 11 gives us the conclusion of the period of temptation through which the Lord Jesus Christ went and which we have been studying together. If we were to read this portion of the Word without consideration of the other Gospels, we would think that immediately on the conclusion of the temptation, the Lord Jesus Christ went into Galilee. But of course, that's not actually the case. There is a lapse of a one-year period between verses 11 and 12. That time lapse should not be ignored if we're to understand things properly. The things which occurred during that one-year period are described in the Gospel of John, not in the Gospel of Matthew. In the Gospel of John, beginning with the 19th verse and going through the third chapter. So you see, there is some detailed discussion concerning that period. And the reason that it's important for us to keep in mind this time lapse to which we've just made reference is that when we get down to the paragraph which begins with verse 18 here in Matthew's Gospel, we're going to be confused about the events and run into error unless that time lapse is kept in mind. For some folk, failing to remember that there has been a time lapse, such as the one I've just suggested and described to you, failing to remember that, find themselves in a quandary. They just simply don't know what is going on. So we want to keep in mind that there is a time lapse of 1 year between verses 11 and 12 in Matthew chapter 4. Verse 12, as we read to you, suggests to us the beginning of the Galilean ministry of the Lord Jesus. Now, we will not have time, probably not have time, to consider all of the details concerning the beginning of this ministry right today. So I want you to notice with me three outstanding characteristics of the beginning of the Galilean ministry, which are here in this paragraph before us. Fixing those three outstanding characteristics, or as many of them as we can today, in our mind, we will be able to have a survey, or a foreview, shall we say, of the entire period of time. Now, one of the characteristics of this particular period is what we refer to as a continuation of John's message. Another characteristic is a certain fulfillment of prophecy. And another characteristic is a call for full commitment. Now let me give you those phrases again, somewhat alliterated, to help you remember them. In this ministry, the beginning of the Galilean ministry, we're going to notice a continuation of John's message. That's John the Baptist, of course. And we're going to notice a certain fulfillment of prophecy. And when we use the word certain, we mean just that. Absolutely no doubt that the prophecy was fulfilled. And then we're going to notice a call for full commitment. That's almost a play upon words. And some folk might even wonder if we should do it, because a commitment is a commitment. But we have learned, haven't we, that oftentimes commitments are made with mental reservations, and full commitment is not forthcoming. Now, let us look for a moment at the first characteristic to which we have made reference, namely, a continuation of John the Baptizer's message. Look at verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now notice how the verse begins, from that time. That is, from the time of the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the period of time we've discussed, where we've made reference to you in the Gospel of John. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Then notice down in verse 23, Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." The time lapse to which we have made reference reveals that John the Baptizer had been put into prison. Someone had to take up the message, which John was not able to deliver now, because he was in prison, so the Lord Jesus Christ himself took it up. The message was entitled, "The Gospel of the Kingdom." The Lord Jesus Christ preached the gospel of the kingdom while he was here upon this earth. And there is no way to get around that, though occasionally some folk do, because they either do not rightly divide the word of truth, or they do not want to declare the precious truths that are related to God's plan and purpose for all men of all ages. The detailed emphasis of the gospel of the kingdom is summed up in the simple phrase that John used, which Matthew presents to us here: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And those of you who will recall what we've said already in our study of the Gospel of Matthew will realize that that's exactly what John preached: the gospel of the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I point out to you that the gospel of the kingdom is an interesting description of the message. And you may wonder what its significance actually is. When I say the gospel of the kingdom, am I suggesting that there is more than one gospel? Well, of course not. I think before we get too far along, we're going to have to settle that, because it is not clear in the minds of many people. And we'll say a word or two about that in the time we have remaining today, and then we will go further into detail so that it will be, I trust, very clear in your mind. So let us say simply today that the word gospel is the Greek word used in every instance where you find the word gospel used, regardless of what other words may be connected with it. It is a translation of the Greek word euangelion, which simply means the good news. So when John the Baptizer preached the gospel of the kingdom, he was preaching the good news with emphasis upon the kingdom. Well, what about the kingdom? He preached that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. The Lord Jesus, as we've just said, took up that same message of John the Baptizer. He preached the good news that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, and that people should be getting ready for it. What did he mean? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Get ready, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that have to do with us today who live some nearly 2,000 years later? Did the kingdom of heaven, which was at hand in Christ's day, ever materialize? Well, that and other questions we'll endeavor to answer for you in our next study, and I do hope you will be glad to be with us and perhaps encourage some others to listen to the message as well. May God bless you richly today.